Welcome back into the Main Streets podcast. William Galloway, along with Britton Johnson, I want to remind you that today's podcast is sponsored by Mary Ansley Smalley with Ray and Pointer Properties. Ready to make your move? Call or text Mary Ansley Smalley today at 205-276-6438. That's Mary Ansley Smalley with Ray and Pointer Properties. A good Monday evening to you, Britton, and happy spring break. You just informed me that you are on break, but you have to study for law school. So welcome to the real world.
Yeah, I mean, this is my first quote unquote real spring break in college. So, and enjoyed a long weekend at the beach, and now it's just back to the really fun world of law school work. So that's really exciting.
Well, I say welcome to the real world. I work for the school system and I have a spring break and a 2 week or week and a half winter break. So maybe not so much the real world, but you may be in it more than I. Anyways, Samford and Alabama are living it up in the real world. Samford is the one seed in the SoCon tournament. They will play on Saturday at 11 a.m. Central on ESPN Plus, taking on the winner of Mercer versus the Citadel. Presumably, that will be Mercer, and Mercer is a team that beat Samford in Georgia earlier this year. So the path not super easy. We're going to talk Tide hoops in just a couple of minutes, but let's start with Samford in the SoCon tournament, Britton. Let's get your breakdown, because it could be Samford could play Mercer, and then they if the high seeds went out. I was listening to Bucky on Jocks today. Western Carolina also beat Samford. Excuse me, Furman beat Samford. Furman's playing Western Carolina in that next game. But your preliminary analysis of the SoCon tournament bracket 2024.
Yeah, I mean, you're never going to get an easy draw in the SoCon tournament, but I feel like this is a particularly tough one for them because I think if you look at, this is just my opinion, if you look at their biggest challenger to the throne this year, I still think it's Furman. I know they've had a down year, and they very well could lose to a very good Western Carolina team in the quarterfinals, but I just really feel like JP Pegues is as good as any player in the league. I think obviously Furman's done it before, they've been there before. And that's a big kind of rivalry game at this point. So if you get that one in the what would be the semifinals, that'd be really tough. That's not to look past a Mercer team that beat Samford. So, like it's definitely one of those things that you have to take it a game at a time. For us last year, granted we were down with a lot of injuries, but we lose to a really good Chattanooga team that was underseeded because their best player had been out for the majority of SoCon play, and they made like 17 threes on like 50 something percent. And so all of a sudden you bounce. And so that's the beauty, and it's the downside of being in a one bid league is that you have to win the league in order to make the tournament. And it all can come down to, hey, did you shoot well that game? And so that's what's really tough in a league that shoots as well as the SoCon does, that is as skilled as the SoCon is. You have to bring it every single game. And it's just tough to do. It's tough to do it three straight nights. I think that Samford has the team to do it because they have the depth, they have the defense, they have the shooting and the ability. And they just have the competitive resolve. I think they're going to have a really good shot at it, but it's going to take three really, really, really high level games, three of their best games of the season in order to do it. And it's not a downplay. You look at the two or three, and you have Chat and ET or not ETSU, UNCG. Who are just, I mean, if they get UNCG in the final, that's just gonna be a war. So like you get through two games and you get the fun part of playing against the most physical team in the league, outside of maybe Samford. So it's a really tough draw that they have, but I think that they are the team to do it. And it's one of those things that there's never an easy way to go through it. So you might as well take this path and run with it. And so I'm excited to see. Obviously, what we were saying is we'll probably hold off on recording until the tournament's over, and hopefully, the next time we record, it'll be Bucky McMillan and the Stanford Bulldogs have punched their ticket to the NCAA tournament. So,
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think the point you bring of playing stiff competition, you might as well play the Furman and then UNCG, or it's not don't make it easy because it's only an uphill battle from there once you make it to the big dance, if you make it to the big dance. So Samford comes into the SoCon tournament as the number one overall seed, as I mentioned, 26-5 in the regular season, a school record, regular season number of wins, 15-3 in conference play, outright champions established. with I think they had three games left to play. So just a tremendous regular season on a one game win streak, had a tough loss. They're late in conference play at Wofford, losing to the Terriers. Now, Samford was out a lot of their main scorers, but Samford also did not lose a game in the Pete Hanna this year. So big shout out to the Samford faithful, the students, and the entire all the fan base making the environment a great place to play 18-0 at home for the Bulldogs. You mentioned a couple different it factors. Obviously, JP Pegues for Furman can shoot from just about anywhere on the court. We saw that when he came to Birmingham to play Samford there, and that ridiculous shot he hit, jump, step back, fade away. He's going to be an it factor. Samford's health is going to be an it factor. And I really enjoyed Bucky's interview on Jocks, where he just talked about it's any man's game. The sample size of 18 games will tell you more than who can get hot in a 3-day stretch. And obviously, y'all kind of ran into a buzzsaw with Chattanooga and Jake Stevens getting healthy late last year, as I think there was a 2-7 game in the second round, which y'all had a bye. But as we close out Samford, what's the message that Bucky sends to his team that he sent last year that he could tell these guys this year for getting ready? You got a full week to prepare. You don't know who you're playing exactly, but you get to watch them Friday. So what's the approach to this game, Britton?
I think it's something that Bucky's incredibly skilled at and great as a coach is that he is going to have his guys walking into these games feeling so confident and feeling like they're the underdogs. It doesn't matter if they're the one seed, they're not going to feel the pressure of being a one seed. And they're going to invite the toughest path, which is, I think, is what they're going to get, honestly. So, with us and going even back to our high school days, like we wanted to see Furman or Huffman in the Elite Eight. Like we wanted that game because we knew that that was the only way it feel really like we accomplished the peak of what we were trying to get at is to go through our toughest competition. And
That made you
so I
feel like a
really
state
believe that
champion ultimately when you lifted the trophy at the end.
100%. And but every single game we felt like the hunter and not the hunted. And when you're the one seed, it can be tough because all the pressure seems to be on you. You're in the 1-8 game, it can kind of feel like all the pressure's on you. But I know with those guys, it's gonna feel like, no, we're here to take over. We're not here to just take part in this thing. We're here to take over and dominate. And that's one thing that he's incredible at. You've been in those locker rooms, like he has you ready to run through a brick wall. And so I have no doubt in those guys like Jermaine Marshall aren't going to be playing scared. So I'm excited to see what they do. And obviously it's still going to be the slimmest of margins, but I really do think those guys are going to get it done, and I'm excited to see it.
And so moving from SoCon to SEC, Alabama has two more regular seasons tomorrow night, as we record this on Monday, tomorrow night at Florida at, I believe, 6 p.m. And then Saturday taking on the hated Arkansas Razorbacks, brunch with the Tide at 11 a.m. Samford will also be playing at 11 a.m. on Saturday. So definitely going to have to double screen watch those two games, so we can give you some accurate analysis here on the Mean Streets podcast. But Britton, Alabama coming in, what an interesting week. I look at that Ole Miss game and I feel like I was riding a roller coaster. Didn't shoot, didn't play its best early on, still found a way to win by 15, score over 100 on the road versus a team who some say has been solid at points this year, not great in conference play. But a 103-88 win at Ole Miss last Wednesday for the Crimson Tide, and then a tough 7-point loss. College game day came to town versus Tennessee, but losing to number 4 overall by 7 Saturday night in Coleman. Kind of just your initial thoughts on Alabama's week. Obviously, a huge win over Ole Miss. Struggle, but a game against Tennessee you feel like probably could have been won had the ball bounced a couple different ways a few different times.
Yeah, I mean, let's start with the Ole Miss game and just what a like I think you said roller coaster. I think that's a perfect word for that game. We got the Davin Cosby breakout game, which I don't know that anyone was expecting. Him hitting 5 threes, playing huge. And what I love about this team is they really are a gritty group. So they get down, 15, 16 points, they don't blink. And I guess that's what having the best offense in the country will do for you is, you can get back in these games in a 5 minute stretch easily. But it was one of those things, they kind of stayed the course the last 6, 7 minutes of that first half where they were down. It just kind of kept staying the course. Hey, if we can just keep it within striking distance and get hot to start the second half. And that's exactly what they did. So it was a huge win because, we had talked about all year, those are the kind of games you have to win if you want to win the league. And so I was super proud of those guys and just the way everybody stepped up. And again, just another like Mark Sears effortless 25-point game where you're just like, where did those points even come from? This didn't even feel like he had scored that much. And then you look at the inbox score, and not to mention Aaron Estrada having a triple-double, which hasn't been done since. I believe it was my sophomore year, Oates' first year, and it was Kyra at Auburn when we broke the SEC 3-point record. But all I have to say is that's a really special performance. And Estrada's been knocking on that door for a while with the triple-double. So for him to actually get the job done, that's pretty cool. You can see all the teammates after the game were just so excited for him. So really big accomplishment. And then we can kind of talk more about the Tennessee game. But that was a really fun Ole Miss win.
So I want to ask you before we get into Tennessee, this is kind of brings it into it. Defensively, Nate has talked over and over and over. He was pretty blatant in a recent press conference, just kind of saying, "Yeah, I mean, we suck. You know, there are struggles, and we have amounted to nothing on that side of the ball on multiple occasions." Me giving my summary there. But that's one thing that I really like about him is that he's blunt and he's gonna kind of like Saban did when he was coach of Alabama football. He sends messages to his team through the media. Nate doing some of that, but what actually does Alabama have to do? We've talked on past recent two or three podcasts about defensive practices and what those look like, and those come when there's long stretches of days without games with a quick turnaround playing Tuesday on the road. You can't really do that, but what literally do you have to do if you're Alabama to fix and enhance this defense moving into, we're already in March, so moving and developing into March?
Well, I'll say this, I mean, and we're going to talk again about the Tennessee game in a minute, but you look at that game, very high leverage game against the top five team in the country, and they play well enough defensively to win it. You can paint it a million different ways, and that's without, in my opinion, a top two or three defensive player on that team, and Latrell Wright still, who I think is the missing piece because he's been so good and was so good right leading up to his injury, and we're hoping to get him back soon. But I thought Rylan. I know Rylan's caught some flack for his offensive performance in that game, but defensively he was phenomenal against Dalton Knecht. Gave him just such a tough time. I think Mo Diabate did a really good job too, but they played well enough defensively to win that game. It was more that they couldn't score in the last 13 minutes, and that's where if you have the best offense in the country, it has to come through at the right time. And that's credit more to Tennessee as well. I think that Tennessee. We've kind of hinted at it all year. I think Tennessee's the best team in the SEC this year. And I think that they have a real shot at winning a national title. Like they're national championship level good. Defensively, offensively, depth, experience with guys. Like they've had guys like Santiago Vescovi that have been there since Oates' first year
I
and
think
have
he
been
was there
starters.
when you and I were in high school, if we're going to be fair.
And so it was one of those things that they've had these guys around forever. And it's just the right mix of like it's one of those teams I look at, I'm like, they can win a title. Now, with that said, you're absolutely right. Alabama wasn't within striking distance. They easily could have won that game, which is what is so frustrating because, it was said it before the game, and I'm sure this is what the buildup was, is that that was an SEC championship game, right? You win that game, you are probably going to win a share at least of the SEC title. Which would have been an incredible run of 3 and 4 years. So obviously frustrating to not come out on top of that one. The crowd was unbelievable. It was, I don't know about you, but it was just so cool to see game day there and like see the national build up and obviously having won, I guess, two of the previous three SEC titles, regular season and tournament, you feel like we'd kind of made it. Being the number one overall seed last year, you feel like we kind of made it. But seeing that and just the students coming out in droves to college game day. It really felt like we have arrived at that national level. And so the only thing that would have made it, a more complete Saturday is having won that game. And I'm gonna hear for the consolation prize of, oh, well, the crowd was great and all that. That it sucks to lose a game like that, but it was really, really cool. Just to see like that kind of we've arrived type moment. Coleman was absolutely rocking. I wish I could have been in there. You could just tell over the TV how loud it was, the white out. Man, I wish we could have come through. It was one of those that I think we'll be kicking ourselves on for a while because it was right there for us. But I do think we lost to the better basketball team.
Yeah, I agree, and I will say about Tennessee, that was an SEC championship game, not only for the regular season, but that's something you could see in Nashville in the SEC tournament. There was a mock conference. It was in our group me. It was in Britain, and for the listeners, Britain and I are in an Alabama basketball group me, and there's all different types of content sent in from tweets to game day pictures, and our friends giving their analysis and their thoughts, which can sometimes be exhausting, but also you're listening to this podcast, so you know we'll just leave that there. But I think what made Tennessee so good is like the way you talked about the way Griffin played. He could have contained, he was containing Connect. Connect could have gone for 10 more. Right. And so you take Ryland's defensive effort if from the jump, if you knew the result, not the final result, but Connect's numbers, and Ryland's numbers, if you knew Ryland was going to guard him that well. And so, it's something you're going to see. Sorry, I jumped around there. You could see it in Nashville. And on that note, in Nashville, there's the mock-up drawing today where you had Auburn, Kentucky, and Tennessee all in the top half of the bracket. And that is murder's row of Nashville in the sense that you can get those three teams to bully each other and only one come out. That's an ideal situation if you're Alabama and you wind up winning and the cards fall as they should and you get to be the two seed. So you take what you can, but again, there's more games to be played. There's a possibility for a five-way tie, which I think is crazy and probably wouldn't happen. There have to be some pretty extreme scenarios to go on there. But if you're Alabama, you want to, try and keep at least two of the three of Tennessee, Auburn, and Kentucky away from you as much as you can. And on the note of mentioning Auburn, we've got to give a shout out to Leor Berman. Prayers out for him and the injury he suffered there. We have said before, we're not an Auburn podcast. If you listen to that, you know that, but we are a pro Leor podcast. And so we, hate that his collegiate career came to a close in that capacity. We know he's going to be a fantastic professional basketball player, whether it is here in the United States or overseas. Leor is just top tier individual. And I tweeted this and you can share your sentiments that he's had an impact far beyond the basketball court from people getting to know him, getting to know his story. And that's what's most impressive to me. He can do all different types of things on the basketball court, but he's a great guy. So we want to give a shout out to Leor here on the Mean Streets podcast. And we, are more than likely that we could see Alabama and Auburn square off in just a couple weeks in the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I mean, to follow up on your sentiment on Leor, just obviously, I feel like most people probably know this, but for those who don't, Leor and I played together in high school. William was all a part of that as well, and so we were all pretty tight, and I'd say to an extent still are. And it was one of those things to see him blossom in college was so cool for me, just even from the 2.5 hours away, just looking down on the plains and seeing that. And it was one of those things that he was always really good at everything. I wouldn't say he was particularly, and I'm saying this from a high school perspective, not great at any one thing. I was like, well, I'll see how he works out as a walk-on, I don't know, like he's a really good player, but let's just kind of see how it all fleshes out when you're playing against guys that are elite athletes or elite at this or elite at that. And the dude just worked his tail off when he got down to Auburn and became an elite shooter, and he gained a bunch of weight, became super strong, and made himself into not just a guy that you could put on the floor, but that was a consistent role player. And I mean that in the best sense of the word, for Auburn for 4 years. And obviously he played there five, but for those 4 years, he legitimately played, which is so cool. Actual scholarship guy, not one of those walk-on, like hand me out scholarships, which are also valuable and great. But the dude was a scholarship player at Auburn. is going to be super successful in life and super successful as a basketball player. My heart absolutely broke for him when I saw him go down in the way that he did. And I'm so excited. It was one of those things that I talked to him a few months ago. And to me, he's still my high school teammate and friend. So I just didn't even think twice as I was saying this. I was like, yeah, what do you plan on doing after this year? Yeah, I think you're gonna go into something in your engineering, like whatever. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna play. And then I was like, of course you are. It just kind of hit in that moment. I was like, of course you're gonna play because you're gonna be a pro basketball player, which is so awesome. And so I'm excited to see well the Lord has in store for him in terms of professional basketball, and I think he'll have a really, really cool story to tell when this is all said and done. But man, objectively, it's a really, really tough way to end your college career. Deserve better, but he'll be better for this when it's all said and done.
Well, and speaking on behalf of my profession, in his professional career, Mountain Brook Athletics is looking for sponsors for the next. We're already looking at re-upping for our current sponsors and looking for new sponsors for next year. So, Lior, if you want to throw some of your tithe, maybe your professional contract 10% back to Mountain Brook Basketball and reinvest it, it could be the Berman Arena at Mountain Brook High School or something like that. So, anyways, all the best to Lior and Britton. We still got one more week, so we'll do an SEC tournament preview, but kind of your parting thoughts on the last regular season week for the SEC, kind of looking around the league. What are some games? What are some teams you're watching outside of Alabama?
Yeah, obviously I'm going to be following what Tennessee does. They play at South Carolina and then they host Kentucky, which will be two interesting games. Like you said, and this is something that a couple of my friends and I were talking about before the Tennessee game even was, if you really look at it, the number two seed looks like a whole lot easier path than the number one seed. And obviously you want to win the game. You want to win the regular season crown. But now that we failed to do that, you kind of look at it and the silver lining is, well, if we stick where we are and the seeding kind of holds, we might be in a better spot here. Obviously, if Tennessee wants to fumble both games and let us win out and we win the crown, I wouldn't be too upset about that either. But I definitely following that. And honestly, South Carolina is super interesting to me. Like we said, they're going to host Tennessee, then they play at Mississippi State. They've just managed to win games. And it's unbelievable because I don't think, and this isn't me hating, I just don't think they're that great of a team. But every time, it's kind of like TCU football a couple years ago, where you just kind of kept waiting on them to stumble, right? Like you're like, when are these guys gonna fall? Like it's gotta happen, and it just didn't. Like they just kept winning games. So what South Carolina's been doing, super impressive. They got a really big win against Florida, who I think is a really good, really, really good team, and it's gonna give us a heck of a game down in Gainesville. I'm worried about that one tomorrow, but I'm definitely be following those kind of two teams, and I want to see how Kentucky, like we kind of pointed out the Tennessee Kentucky game. I want to see how Kentucky's going to finish this, because to me, if you were to ask me who the two best teams in the league are right now, it's Tennessee and Kentucky, and I think Alabama's probably right there at three. And obviously we're so volatile that we can lose in the first round, or we can really get hot and win the entire thing. That's kind of the roller coaster that is Alabama basketball, but Tennessee and Kentucky are playing great ball right now, and I'm excited to watch that game. That's a marquee matchup if I've ever seen one. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll see how it all shakes out, but I hope we can finish strong. Hopefully get Latrell back. And if I can add one more shout out, Pringle's been phenomenal recently. And
Oh, yeah.
it's been so clear since he's come back from suspension what a different player he's been. The energy, the effort he's provided. He was so huge for us in the Tennessee game and in the Ole Miss game, and he's playing some really high level basketball for us right now, and he's kind of exactly what we were hoping for coming into the year. So if he can continue doing that, Alabama can be really dangerous in March. So we need Latrell back, and Pringle needs to keep playing at the level he is. But I think that Alabama has a pretty promising March ahead of them if they can just put it together at the right time.
All right. Well, I am going to head out and watch Deal or No Deal Island on this beautiful Monday night. And that Tennessee Kentucky game you referenced is Saturday at 3 o'clock. So that will take place. And we will all be watching that after Alabama, presumably, knock on wood, beats up Eric Musselman and Arkansas for potentially Eric Musselman's last matchup as Arkansas head coach against the Crimson Tide. So, my final word. will be. We got to give a shout out to the Bulldogs. We got to get them through big week in the SoCon tournament. Going to be watching that. If you don't have ESPN Plus, you need to get it because you can't miss any of these games. It's going to be must watch. Mid-major tournaments going on this week are always going to be entertaining. So looking forward to that. And then got to give a shout out to my Mountain Brook Spartans, lost by one to Buckhorn in the state championship. Certainly think that Coach Tyler Davis, outcoached Buckhorn. Spartans in most efforts outplayed. They just did not outscore, losing by 1 point. Tough way to lose the state championship. A great effort, a great postseason, and a great season from that Mountain Brook basketball team. So really enjoyed watching those guys, getting to know them. And what is a heartbreaking time and a heartbreaking way to lose the state championship. They need to keep their chins high because it was a phenomenal season, and being in a state championship 3 out of the last 4 years is a significant accomplishment. And these guys have had high expectations since they were kids. They just expect to go to the BJCC, and dating back to when they were in elementary school, that's their expectation. They did it, and they were almost all the way there this year. So shout out to those guys. Britton, your last word, bring us home.
Yeah, like you said, big week for the Samford Bulldogs. Hopefully the next time we talk to you guys, it'll be Samford Bulldogs, SoCon tournament champs, and NCAA tournament bound. So go Bulldogs, roll tide, and this is March.